In our digital and postmodern world, the responsibilities of today's parents are as diverse as they've ever been. We often play the roles of tutor, pastor, nurse, spy, chef, and chauffeur, just to name a few. But how often do we think of ourselves as guardians of purity? Hello and welcome to License to Parent with Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and on today's program, we'll be exploring parenting as it pertains to securing our children's purity in a dirty and downright daunting digital world. And Trace, we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Julie Hiramine, and she is the founder and executive director of a ministry called Generations of Virtue, which equips parents to empower their children for purity in today's world. And as a speaker, author, and a Christian leader, Julie has encouraged and impacted parents and teens both here in the U.S. and actually all around the world. Julie, her husband Kay, and their family live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where Julie homeschools her five daughters, Brianna, Stacia, Alyssa, Hannah, and Michaela. So she has had plenty of parenting experience. Her latest book is called Guardians of Purity. And Trace, I know when you opened this book, when you read it, you did so cover to cover, and you were very excited about this, weren't you?
Well, I really was. I can throw away my manuscript now. There's no point in reinventing the wheel. This is an easy read. It hits all the pertinent points. Doesn't have all the cycle babble. Finally, someone who gets it and is not afraid of being accused of being a right-wing, Bible-thumping, whatever. I want to use this book in our parenting workshops that we have here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, and I'll talk to Julie about that later. But I really felt a kindred spirit with the heart of this lady. Julie, welcome to the License to Parent broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Trace.
Well, it's such a blessing to have you with us. First of all, I want to thank you for writing this book, Guardians of Purity. You know, considering the times that we live in today, I really don't think, and I mean this when I say it, I don't think there's another book that should be read by parents until they finish this one. I mean parents of all ages. I mean kids of all ages. And I say this because I know that today's postmodern world is the other parent. And it's competing for the hearts and minds of this generation. And that's why the License to Parent tagline is insight for today's culture. But I think our audience would probably rather hear that from you. So why don't you tell us why you wrote the book?
You know, I wrote this book because I have five children. I've worked with teens a lot in the past, and I realized the key role that parents take in raising their children. I watched while I was younger, before I had kids, the difference it made when the parent of a young person really invested and connected and was intentional with their teen and with their child, and it made a huge impact. And that child would walk in the ways of the Lord. And so as I observed that, and I wanted to do this with my own kids, God began putting on my heart how to do this, how to be intentional with our children, and how to help them stand against the tide of this culture.
Sure. Now, would you agree that today we cannot afford as parents to separate understanding the times from nurturing our kids?
Oh, I agree with you completely there. You know, it's interesting because even if you're a parent who's 25 and has a 7-year-old that you had right very young, it's different than when you were young. It doesn't matter if you're 45 and have children. It is a different day and age that we parent in. And so I believe we have to parent differently for our children. We can't just do the same thing that our parents did. And so we really have to equip and empower them.
Sure. You know, one of the things we pound home regularly here on the License to Parent broadcast is the incredible effect that today's postmodern culture is having on our kids. You know, the fact that our kids, our Christian kids, are exposed to and engaged in infinitely more dangerous, foolish, and certainly sinful stuff, and much of it is through today's digital technology. What specifically do you see as our kids' greatest threat as far as our culture's influence is concerned?
You know, it's interesting because as I work with teens here in the U.S., and teens are impacted around the world by this, is this generation is so impacted by technology. I watch that stumbling teens more than romance, relationships, sex. It leads them to all those things. But technology is usually where it starts. And when kids from 8 to 18 years old, studies show that they're spending 10 hours and 45 minutes a day on average with technology, that's with multitasking. But still, you know, over 7 hours a day. That's like us with our full-time job. You know, what if we invested all that time in media? It would have a tremendous influence. And I know most parents look and, oh, that's not my child. And we're about setting boundaries with our kids. We're trying to have them make healthy decisions and choices. But our kids are still immersed in a world where most kids, 90% of them that are 8 to 16 years old, will find pornography while they're just doing their homework. Not that they're trying to. Pornography finds them. And so they are set with challenges that we never faced.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of Christian parents particularly realize that that's happening. I think they think their kids are immune to those things. Music through the digital world seems to be, I think, a grossly overlooked component. I mean, I'll ask you, can you name three songs in contemporary music today that lift up chastity before marriage?
No, you stumped me.
Listen, to save you some time, I can tell you that I've asked kids that have come through Shepherd's Hill Academy for years. They can't name one, not one. And then you had Beyonce, who performed at the Super Bowl this year. And of course, Janet Jackson and her wardrobe malfunction not that many years ago. You know, it used to be marching bands and family entertainment. And Beyonce also performed before the president, I think. And what used to be considered way out of whack and gutter entertainment is now mainstream in America. And that's not helping the Christian parents' cause. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, 70% of all TV shows have sexual content. I'm sure we've run into that. It is everywhere. And, you know, as much as we try, especially with our young kids, to protect them and make sure they're not seeing that, I'll tell you, things will surprise us. So we have a way in our family where, you know, if I say, cover your eyes or close your eyes, they know right away that there's a response. There's something going on that they want to shield themselves from and that mom and dad are protecting them.
You know, when we do our parenting seminars here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the first thing I tell our parents right off the bat is that this isn't going to be a class where you're going to necessarily hear the 10 principles of this or the 6 steps to that, you know, the 12 ways to achieve whatever. I try to get them to see the importance of first acquiring the mind of Christ and a biblical worldview. But a lot of times when I say that, I get that deer in the headlights look, you know, at least in the beginning. They don't seem to connect the dots right away. They seem to put more faith in all the medical, psychological, philosophical, and mechanical answers and steps to successful parenting. But I know your faith in God is the preeminent component to your parenting message. Explain why and how getting to know Christ and His Word is so fundamental to being a successful parent.
You know, we as parents need to be connected to God first. He is the source for our kids. We are not the ultimate source. And I feel like with our kids, their connectedness to God and that love life, that love that they have with the Lord Jesus Christ, that their first love story is with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not with some other kid. And we want to begin developing that with our children while they're in preschool, while they're teeny and through elementary and their tween and their teen years and walking with them. And what that takes is a parent who's willing to go there because they cannot follow where we have not been. So I challenge parents as well that unless our lives are pure, what are we watching? What are we looking at on the computer? What kind of things are we doing that model to our kids? It's amazing what our kids know about us as parents, and they know our successes and they know our failures. And so how can we show them a heart that's real and that we're willing to sit down and say, hey, I really blew it here, and be real to them and apologize? But it starts with connecting with God and then connecting as a family and being able to really disciple and bring up our kids in the Lord.
Yeah, and you started that young. I mean, you wired that into them from the time they were young. And I think the mistake a lot of parents make is to think, well, Junior's not noticing this and not noticing that. And all of a sudden they wake up one morning and he's 11 or 12 years old and he's been noticing it for years and now it's a part of his daily activity.
Exactly. And where we want to start with our children is when they're in preschool, when they're in early elementary school. There are so many things I talk about that we can do. And one of them is just this whole issue of pornography. Is talking to our little ones. We don't have to talk explicitly. We do it very age appropriately, but we say, hey, if you ever see anything, someone with their clothes off or they're running around without any the proper clothing or it makes you uncomfortable, come and get mom and dad right away. And so that gives them the heads up about bringing things out into the open, bringing them into the light, being very open with mom and dad, keeping the lines of communication open, and helping them not get caught up in this. I had a mom a couple months ago when I was doing a parenting session tell me, hey, my son was on YouTube and he clicked through to something and he found these pornography videos and now he's totally hooked and I don't know what to do. 7 years old.
Oh yeah, we get calls for kids like that. I mean, I call it being bit by the vampire.
Mm.
I mean, once you've been bitten, you have a taste for that stuff. But you know, let me switch gears just a minute. About a year ago in Nashville at the American Association of Christian Counselors Conference, Josh McDowell walked on stage in front of 7,000 mental health professionals, and the first words out of his mouth were these. He said, "The days of the sleepover are over."
Mm.
Can you comment on that?
Wow, that's really amazing. You know, honestly, I do not let my kids do sleepovers.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was a woman who is much older, and she said, you know, all the things that I see that just kind of go adrift and amiss happen at sleepovers. And I began to think back to my childhood, which is very different from what our kids are facing now. And I realized, wow, that was kind of true with me too. And so we enjoy having kids over and we enjoy doing things, but we do not go for the sleepover.
Julie, Trace and I both share the fact that we each have 5 kids. So we've had to ride this train for quite a while too. One of the biggest things that we face as parents, though, and that a lot of people do, is the feedback or the throwback that we get from other Christian parents. And I'm wondering, for those who just don't get it, how do those of us who do get it communicate these ideas with them? How do we become our own parental ambassadors to other parents to share this news?
Yeah, without looking like legalistic Pharisees.
Well, and that's where we need to have a lot of love for those around us. And God takes each one of our families on a different walk, and each one of our families will look a bit different in this regard. But when we are being guardians of purity for our children, that comes first. What God is directing you to guard your children. And I know you get the kids that come home and say, "But mom, everybody else is doing it." And, you know, we get that too. And my husband was really wise one day because there was a movie that came up and everybody else was doing it. And I watched it and I'm like, well, it's not that bad. And I talked to my husband. And he says, what value does it have? And when we look at the value of the things we do in relation to our walk with God and us being in the image of Christ and following after him with a pure heart, pure mind, and pure body, not only on the outside, but the inside as well, then what value does that have? And so I want to encourage parents, it is worth standing and it's worth loving those around you, but have a few covenant kind of families around you who are on the same page as you so that you can be talking to each other's kids when they cross the line a little bit and say, hey, or feel comfortable talking to the parents. And then you have a wider circle of friends that you're loving on and sharing about the Lord with.
Well, if you've just joined us in mid-conversation here, you're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and our special guest, who is incidentally joining us from the Focus on the Family Studios in Colorado Springs, is Julie Hiramine, the founder and executive director of Generations of Virtue. That's a ministry that equips parents to empower their children for purity in our culture today. And her current book, the one that we're touching on here, is called Guardians of Purity. Up next, the importance of starting young. We want to delve into that a little bit more, and that could actually apply to a lot of things in life. We'll be back with more right after this. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at LicensedToParent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to LicensedToParent.org and click Donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
This is Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry and our special guest, Julie Hiramini, the author of the book Guardians of Purity. Trace?
Well, Julie, I think most parents, even non-Christian parents, would agree that America is not exactly a bastion of morality anymore. But do you think most parents really understand the degree of depravity that exists today and the degree of harm that it's actually doing to our kids? I mean, even if it's all virtual through digital technology, we're talking brain science here. Can you comment on that?
You know, it is wiring our kids' brain in a way that is not good for their future. Romance and relationship wires our kids' brains more of coming in and out of relationship after relationship to be later not bonded in marriage. And so what we want to do is work with our kids starting when they're very, very young and begin working with their character, begin working with purity of not just body. You know, you don't work with purity of body as much with a preschooler and elementary schooler as you do purity of heart and purity of mind. And you are laying a foundation. And what the foundation we're laying is something that comes from the inside out. It's not about insulating our children from every single media influence or technology influence, but it's working with them from the inside out that their heart is right and that their mind is on the things above, not on everything going on this earth that is not of the Lord. And so that's where we want to start with our kids. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about their schools and their sports and their music and all these extracurricular activities we sign them up for. But how much time do we spend thinking about training them in character and virtue and purity and the things that are going to matter when they are married and raising a family and that are going to take them through life?
Well, that used to be part of education, but now it's all about academics, civics, character, ethics, things like that. That was all part of the grander scheme in education back in the day. But because of digital technology, could we be creating a generation of Frankenstein monsters? I mean, I can tell you just in the past few years at Shepherd's Hill Academy, we're seeing kids at younger and younger ages come in here with, I mean, no consciences, no moral point of reference, self-absorbed narcissists. I mean, virtual reality is reality. They can lie, believe their own lies, be caught on tape, and still lie about it. You know, you talk about being hardwired early in life, you know, calling these kids the digital natives. Well, I guess this Manti Te'o guy who plays for Notre Dame with his virtual girlfriend, he might be a poster child for everything I'm talking about here. Can you comment on what some of this technology is doing to kids' ability to discern reality from virtual reality?
You know, I think that's especially key when it comes to our young kids and video games, because they began to not know the virtual from the real. And especially with illicit content, whether it's video games, whether it's Disney TV, whatever it is, they began to take what's coming into them as truth. And when you've got young kids, they're not at a point, their brain is not yet mature enough to discern. And the other thing they're not discerning is the consequences of their actions for the future. And you go that, you know, you fast forward into their teen years and they're not realizing that all the things that TV and the internet and movies and their favorite rock star and artist is singing about has consequences because no one ever goes over that. And when I'm looking at, you know, that one in four young people will have an STD, it's coming down to one in two by the time they're 25, if they're sexually active. You know, there's not people talking about that after the bedroom scene.
Right. No, you are exactly right. And I've had to break some pretty hard news to Christian parents about their kids over the years. Digital influence notwithstanding, what would you say to the parent who refuses to believe that their child can ever be dabbling in illicit sex, drugs, rock and roll, gangs, guns? Because after all, you know, they've been raised in a Christian home. You know, they can quote scripture and maybe even want a Bible quiz event.
Mm.
What counsel would you have to the Christian parent who thinks that their kids are above any of that?
You know, I always tell parents that we need to look not only at the strengths of our kids. Hey, we love to brag on them, say how amazing they are, because they are amazing young people. But we as parents are called to raise up and disciple our kids. So we are called to look at their weaknesses. And I will tell you, most teens that I meet, and I talk to thousands of teens and thousands of parents, but I can talk to the teen of a parent who's seriously struggling, immersed in pornography, but their parents do not know. And it's not because the teens just want to be, oh, my parents, I don't want to tell them. They don't want to be deceptive, but they want their parents to love them and approve of them. So they end up being deceptive in the long run and hiding this whole other life that they have and walking the good Christian life on Sunday and Wednesday night at church. And then the rest of the time, it is just sliding away from God. And we need as parents to ask God to show us the motivation and the intention of their heart and pray in that way and be willing to deal with it. Because frankly, when we deal with our kids not being perfect, we feel like, oh, I'm not so perfect of a parent. But give it up. None of us are perfect parents. None of us are normal. One of my friends, she always says, the only thing that's normal is the setting on the dryer that says normal. There's no normal family. None of us are perfect. We would not need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior if we had it all together. So stop trying to act like we have it all together and really dive in there with our kids and their issues.
It really is about developing that relationship. I totally agree with that, you know, with your kids and keeping that line of communication open. Because kids, they're wonderful at compartmentalizing their faith. And I think adults are too. Parents of teenagers are barely in their 30s today sometimes, and they're highly influenced in the whole digital world as well. I mean, why do so many parents, and even Christian parents and leaders, seem to be more concerned about being accused of sheltering their kids than they are about shattering their innocence? Isn't there a preeminent responsibility to protect our kids?
Oh, yes, definitely. And, you know, I get it from both sides. Some people, they don't want to talk to their kids very frankly and honestly because they're worried about their innocence. But I say innocence does not mean they're ignorant. And so I always encourage parents to start when their kids are in preschool and elementary school. Start from the place of saying, hey, God made marriage and God made babies. Every preschooler wants to know how that baby got in there, especially if you're pregnant. And this is a wonderful opportunity to age appropriately, share with our kids about how babies are made and about how God designed families, and do it from that perspective rather than mom, dad, what's sex? And so open those lines of communication early. And don't think that by doing it one time, you know, whoops, my job's done. Great. I got that over with. Thank the Lord. No, this is something to do every year. This is something to do with every teachable moment, because the last thing you want is your kids on Google, Googling the word sex, which is the number one Googled word. And we don't want that information. We want the information from mom and dad that has our godly values with it. Now, some people also worry about, you know, just sheltering their kids, but setting healthy boundaries is so important, and that keeps kids secure. Setting clear expectations is something that makes a huge impact on our children, and that actually frees them up. And so don't feel like if you're a parent saying no to something, that's wrong. They need to hear the word no, because someday they're going to need to say no in a situation. And so them hearing that, you know, when they need to, is very, very key.
And deep inside, because of the spirit flesh nature of human beings, they want to hear no. I say this regularly on this program. Kids want someone older, wiser, bigger, stronger, and more determined to do right than they are to do wrong. Because that's where their sense of security comes from. They know they're out of control, you know. But where exactly is that balance between overprotecting our kids and being overly permissive in today's digital world. Is it even possible to overly protect your kids today?
Sometimes you've got to wonder. I mean, I do meet people who, you know, want to move to the Rockies and axe the computer, the internet, the cell phone, and sit by the fire. And that might be overprotective. You know, some days I wish I could do that, especially when my computer does not work. But that's not reality. That's not the world we live in. So we, with our children, need to teach them how to have those healthy boundaries. We need to be checking up on them. We need to not only be their friend on Facebook, we need to have their password and look at what they're posting from that perspective as well. So we need to do things like that with our kids and have that balance. But the key is that the motivation is from the inside out. It's not so we look good to the world. It's not so I have a great Christian family. This is because I want to be in the image of Jesus Christ and die to everything that is not in that image and work with my kids in that arena as well. And so that's where it comes from the heart. And that is the key.
Do you think maybe we've made entertainment too much of a priority when we raise our kids? Have we amused them or maybe entertained them into imbecility today?
Oh, Trace, I can't agree with you more because I see kids that their parents do everything to just make them happy, entertain them, do this or that with them all the time. And, you know, honestly, hard work, like doing chores around the house, emptying the dishwasher and taking out the trash is not entertaining. But I will tell you, the kid who does that and does it when he does want to and does it also when he doesn't want to, when he reaches his teen years and is out with a girl and is tempted to do something that he knows is not walking with God, he will be able to selflessly restrain himself because he has not been selfish his whole life. And so we really need to build that selfless character in our kids, and they need to learn how to sacrifice and work and not just be entertained all the time.
Yeah, and that generates in them a genuine sense of self-esteem. Now, we only have a few moments left in the program, but I do want to ask you this. How do you feel the objections from your friends, your neighbors, extended family, and half the church, really, when you know you're doing the right thing for your kids, but you're finding yourself looking like that right-wing, Bible-thumping, knuckle-dragging, fundamentalist nutcase for doing it? Final thoughts?
You know, it's the fruit. I see the fruit in my kids when we've maybe drawn the line and said no way earlier than other parents. Now that they're older, I see the fruit in them, and that is a great reason to do it.
Well, Julie, we can't thank you enough for being with us today. And as Trace has said before the program, he needs you on staff here because you and he are definitely of like mind. So we greatly appreciate your being with us today. Our guest today has been Julie Hiramine, author of the book Guardians of Purity, which is available at her website, generationsofvirtue.org. When you're there, you'll find a number of resources designed for the purity of heart, purity of mind, and purity of body. Julie has encouraged and impacted parents and teens both in the U.S. and internationally through her speaking and her written materials. Along with Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to visit our website, licensedtoparent.org, and of course, join us once again next time to renew your license to parent.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you, and just keep up the great work, and do keep in touch with us here.
Thank you very much, Trace.
And folks, remember, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.